The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, on the earth.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belden.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, March 16th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Join us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, interviews, comedy, music, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. And joining me to my left, our new intern and soon-to-be engineer of the show, Ganja John. Oh, I'm sorry, Maestro Ganja John.
That's right, Maestro Ganja John. Thank you.
Hey, John, we were just talking earlier here, and you were telling me how you got to go to the Comic-Con in Seattle. How was that this weekend?
Comic-Con was absolutely amazing. Stan Lee was there, Thomas Jane, Leonard Nimoy. Oh, I had a great time. I can't I regret missing Keith this weekend here at the Oregon Normal, but I met my other hero.
Yeah, Stan Lee, that's awesome. And also joining us in our virtual studio in good old Astoria, Oregon, our good friend and my half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hey, Radical Russ. Oh. And new studio guest. I love it.
Yeah, we're all working together here in the studio. More volunteers here for Normal Show Live, bringing this wonderful show to all of our dedicated listeners. Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. And so, Carrie, what are we looking forward to today?
Well, today we're going to go to Iowa City and report on a story about a man and his activities in the back of a police squad car. Mm. Not quite a stupid stoner story, but interesting all the same. We're going to go down to Los Angeles and look at how the activists are handling the new city ordinance that was passed last January. And unfortunately, we're going to have to report on two horrific violent crimes out of Washington State.
Yeah, we'll bring that up right here after our first break. So stay tuned, everyone. Thank you, Carrie, for that update. Also, want to make an update, a special... Go, little guy, go. Oh, there it is. My trumpeter was late. A special happy birthday wish to SBizzle420 in the chat room having a birthday today. We hope you get the present that you are hoping for. Also, I definitely want to make a note of some...
It's a normal shout-out.
Yeah, notice some shout-outs that I want to get out here to the state of Arkansas. We used to have an Arkansas Normal, but we have found out that Arkansas Normal is not technically a nonprofit organization registered in the state of Arkansas. So therefore, there is no Arkansas Normal. If you're seeing anyone referring to themselves as Arkansas Normal, don't believe the hype because it just ain't true.
Don't believe the hype.
Thank you, Flav.
Don't believe the hype.
Because they have to be a nonprofit organization in order to be a normal chapter. So if you'd like to get started, send me an email at start@normal.org. Plenty of stuff coming up on the show. Stick around. Also want to have people know that we've got the homegrown contest is still going on. We've got some more information on that coming up a little bit later. And Sarah Kant will be here with our Electric Tuesday Toker Tune. Craig X. Rubin is our guest in the California Marijuana Report. And former Associate Attorney General Webb Hubble will be here to discuss the Americans with Disability Act.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford. from the Hemp in Kansas Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Hey everybody, it's your favorite giveaway guy, Gene Blinkendale, here with a fabulous new contest for all you tokers and tokettes out there. We've got 4 t-shirts from homegrown.com to give away to the first 4 listeners who send us an email, but wait, it's not that easy. Your email needs to contain 3 different responses from your state or federal elected officials on the subject of marijuana law reform, all dated after March 1st, 2010. Send in your 3 responses in an email to stash@normal.org with the subject line Homegrown T-Shirt Contest, and you could be a winner. By writing your elected officials, someday we all could be winners. I'm your giveaway guy, Gene Blinkendale, reminding you that there ain't no such thing as a free lunch, but a friend with weed is a friend indeed.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind, liberate your mind, liberate your mind, that's what you got to do, liberate your mind.
Marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Police in Iowa City have accused a 77-year-old man they arrested on traffic charges earlier this year of swallowing his hidden marijuana stash while seated in a squad car. Authorities served an arrest warrant on misdemeanor marijuana charges Thursday on Howard Switzer and later released him on his own recognizance. Police say they observed Switzer making an illegal left turn back on January 31st and arrested him for driving with a revoked license. They say that while Switzer was in the back of the squad car, he reached into a coat pocket, pulled out a plastic tube containing marijuana, and swallowed most of the contents. They say the 77-year-old dropped the tube and a glass marijuana pipe on the floor of the squad car.
Well, gosh, we all feel safer now that we got this 77-year-old menace to society off of our streets, walking around with marijuana on his person and, you know, being a person with marijuana. This is so insane, is some of the stories that we have to cover here that are brought about by this stupid prohibition of marijuana. But I do want to remind folks, don't try to swallow your stash. Especially if it's still in the bag. We actually had to report on a really sad story of a guy who choked to death because he tried to swallow his bag of weed and, of course, you know, couldn't breathe and he died. So, you know, no ticket, no jail time, no misdemeanor is worth your life. So be very, very careful in that respect. In the other respect, of course, let's just legalize cannabis so that 77-year-old grandfathers don't have to worry about swallowing their weed in the back of a squad car.
The long overdue and much discussed Los Angeles City ordinance that will regulate the marijuana dispensaries was finally passed in January. The final ordinance that the LA City Council approved capped the number of medical marijuana dispensaries allowed in LA at 70. Now, there are 187 registered marijuana dispensaries that would be granted a reprieve, although if any of those operations close, a new dispensary cannot take its place. That leaves over 100 dispensaries that are out of luck and facing closure. A group of LA medical marijuana advocates had until the end of yesterday to collect 27,425 valid signatures in hopes of getting a referendum on the ballot to counter the city ordinance and fight for the right of hundreds of dispensaries to remain open. The group only came up with 15,000 signatures. Daniel Halbert, who led the group, says that the shortfall is due to the limited amount of time to get all those signatures collected. They had 30 days, and he contends that 10 of those days were spent by the city delaying the approval of the petitions. The group is seeking consultation from lawyers to see what their legal options are to continue to pursue a ballot referendum. Already, the group Americans for Safe Access have filed lawsuits on behalf of two popular dispensaries. Los Angeles City Attorney Carmen Trutanich has said that the collectives do have the right to grow their own cannabis and recover costs, but this selling of cannabis is prohibited by law. So far, the courts have not ruled directly on whether the dispensaries can sell marijuana to their members.
So they had 30 days, or let's say 20 days, to collect 27,000 signatures. That works out to about, what, 1,000, 1,500, 1,250, somewhere, you know, a large number of signatures per day they would have had to come up with. In the city of Los Angeles, where there are, what, 10 million people or so in the metro area? So it's a shame that they weren't able to get enough signatures to put this on the ballot, but maybe the inability to get enough signatures says something about the general Californians' feelings about the proliferation of dispensaries in Los Angeles. It'd be really interesting to actually get this on the ballot and to see how the people would vote. It does smack of dirty pool from the LA City Council that have been doing nothing but negotiating in bad faith with activists down there in Southern California with regard to their own problem. You know, the whole problem of dispensary proliferation in Los Angeles is the Los Angeles Council's fault for, you know, not coming up with sensible regulations when they were directed to, you know, years ago. But to try to solve the problem by, you know, stifling the will of the people or, you know, giving them too short of a time to collect petitions, that's really dirty pool as well. I sure hope everything works out in California and that the dispensaries are allowed to continue to operate.
And two horrific crimes against medical marijuana activists in Washington state resulted with one dead and another involved in a shootout. Michael Howard was attacked by robbers who knew he had a marijuana crop at his home. Howard was beaten with a crowbar and was found bleeding and wounded by police investigating the assault. Police began questioning the injured man about the number of plants he had and told him that the bleeding man that the medics would probably just put a bandage on his head and leave him at the house. When medics did arrive, they took the mortally injured man to the hospital where he lay in a coma for 2 days before dying. While he lay dying in the hospital, his female roommate was contacted by the police that asked her when she was going to visit Howard in the hospital. While she was at the hospital, the Pierce County Sheriff's Department raided her home. When she arrived back at the residence, she was handcuffed and put in the back of a police car for 2.5 hours because she lived at the same residence as the grow operation, even though it was not exactly in the home but on the property in an outside shed. The investigating officers didn't even take the murder weapon into evidence until the morning after the attack, when they realized Mike was likely not going to make it. According to the patient advocacy group Cannabis Defense Coalition, Howard was facing constant police harassment in his small town because of his advocacy for medical marijuana. In another shock of violence, Steve Sarich, a medical marijuana activist from Kirkland, Washington, survived a shootout on Monday with two men who broke into his home to steal the cannabis that he was growing there. Sarich had recently spoken out about the violence faced by home invasions of growers and the police response to them. He had sent an email to Senator Jean Cole Wells expressing his concern and had spoken on the Capitol steps this weekend trying to get attention for the Howard case. One of the suspects who raided Sarich's home was critically injured in the shootout and is currently in intensive care. Sarich, who suffered shotgun pellets in his face and arm, was discharged late yesterday afternoon.
Wow. You want to know why I get so pissed off at the story that I told last week about the Oregon cops in Polk County and in Washington County and many other counties here in Oregon giving away the names and addresses of medical marijuana patients who they suspect have illegal or out of compliance medical marijuana grows? Well, this weekend stories pretty much put the period at the end of the sentence, don't they? A man beaten with a crowbar, lying, bleeding in his own home, and the first instinct of the Washington State or the Washington police officers that could come onto the scene is to question him about maybe he's got too many marijuana plants, to leave the murder weapon, the bloody crowbar, laying there and not to dust for fingerprints or set up a CSI or any of that stuff to try to catch people who've committed a violent crime. Not just gardening, not just growing pot plants to get high or use as medicine, but a violent crime against another human being. We get the case of Steve Sarich out there. He's with Canicare. He's well known in the community. He's been a victim of a home invasion robbery previously, and then this weekend, a victim of another home invasion where he has four young men. Sarich is in his 50s. He's almost 60. He's 59 years old. Four young men, 19-year-old, 21-year-old, bursting into his house, firing shotguns at him. He has to use his firearm to defend himself. And he, Sarich, is going to also face the cops coming out to his place to see whether or not his medical marijuana grow was in compliance. Can you see why those of us in the marijuana community are reluctant to call police and think of police as our enemies sometimes? To protect and serve my ass. This is a fundamental breakdown of what police work is supposed to be all about. And all this does is encourages everyone in the cannabis community to not call the cops, to go arm themselves and have an entire arsenal in their homes and to train, you know, vicious dogs to take down intruders because they know the cops aren't going to help. They know that calling 911 could get them 5 to 10. This has to end, and the only way it is going to end is through legalization of marijuana for all people. The only reason these home invasion robbers are breaking in is because marijuana costs as much as palladium these days. Used to cost as much as gold, but gold's gone way up. There's a huge profit involved in getting that medical marijuana away from the patients and sold out on the black market. It is only the demand of the people that want marijuana for themselves for non-medical purposes that puts the medical users in danger. This is why I'm always telling medical marijuana patients, don't just rest on your laurels and think, well, I got mine, I'm cool. No, you're not. You aren't protected. You are just barely protected. Barely protected. At any time, you could suffer a home invasion robbery. If you got cops that don't like what you're doing, they're going to harass you like they did Mike Howard, pulling him over in his small town for the most frivolous reasons in traffic, constantly harassing the man and his family because they knew him to be the medical marijuana activist in town. Well, you know what? It's time for us to stop being medical marijuana activists and start being marijuana activists. I'm so sick and tired of hearing, I'm not a criminal, I'm a patient. What does that make me, a criminal? No, the criminals are the ones that are breaking in with crowbars and shotguns and attacking the medical marijuana patients to try to get the weed that they want to sell to the non-medical marijuana patients. Legalize it for everyone and these problems go away, as well as the problems of patient access. Everybody talks about, well, let's get some dispensaries. Dispensaries are a stopgap measure. Yeah, it's great that we provide some way for patients to be able to get their medicine, but as long as marijuana is illegal for all of us, the dispensaries are going to be the subject of scorn from the prohibitionists. And they're going to figure that there's going to be fraud there as people try to get marijuana for their own personal purposes rather than medical purposes. It's time to end all of this division between medical and religious and personal use and just legalize for all people. Like Keith Stropp said this weekend, it's none of the government's damn business why we choose to use cannabis. It is our right. Okay, back to happier times. Time to mellow out. I got myself a little rantified there, but it's 20 after, and I know a very special way of mellowing out. We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed.
All right, 21 after the hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be speaking with Craig X. Rubin in the California Marijuana Report. Eric Renner bringing that to us. Also, at the end of the show, Webb Hubble, former Assistant Attorney General in the Clinton administration, joining us to talk about the Americans with Disability Act and how it relates to medical marijuana. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sarah Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, through the magic of telecommunications, we are joined by Sarah Kant in Boston, Massachusetts. Sarah, welcome back.
Thank you, Russ. How are you today?
Well, today is a fabulous day, and I hope things are going well for you. Everything happening good in Boston today?
It's a lovely day here today. I think spring has finally sprung, but hopefully I'm not jinxing it.
Oh, don't jinx it, man. We're here in Portland, Oregon, where we are due for another month or two of rain and cold. But let's cheer everything. Let's cheer everyone up here a little bit with some great electronica music. Tell us what we're going to hear for today.
Well, today, DJ Smoke, a.k.a. Jason Morgan, is a true musical powerhouse. He's been in several bands with such diverse genres as hardcore rock, electronic and down-tempo, and hip-hop as the drummer, guitarist, and or vocalist. This includes late 1990s to early 2000s Salt Lake City hip-hop punk band Velcro. Over his years of experience as a musician, he has played many venues throughout the U.S. and has shared the stage with many well-known entertainers. Jason is currently pursuing solo work in varying eclectic styles as he takes a hiatus from bands. A multi-talented instrumentalist, he plays keyboards, guitar, bass, saxophone, and drums. All live and computer-generated aspects of his music are done by him in his home studio based in Bountiful, Utah. DJ Smoke also produces demo albums as well as writes and produces for Breakthrough Crew. The Bangra influence is clear in this track, reminiscent of some of the offerings from British Asian label Outkast. Smoked Out in the Middle East is lo-fi and tribal, with hints of New Age. His haunting nature lends well to definite sensual danceability. Find DJ Smoke on MySpace and Reverb Nation at DJ Smoke, Marijuana Music Network at DJ _ Smoke, and on Facebook. A bevy of merchandise is available for purchase on Zazzle at DJ Smoke. Thanks to our friends and supporters at Marijuana Music Network, a social networking site for cannabis-friendly artists, for sending us this one. Check them out at marijuanamusic.net if you're a listener for some fab new music, or sign up for their free services if you're making music.
All right. Thank you, Sarah, so much for the intro. This is DJ Smoke. Smoked Out in the Middle East. Enjoy your daily toker tune. Tunage there, Smoked Out in the Middle East. As one of our chatters said, this is hookah token music. Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Sarah Kant, for bringing us this song for our daily toker tunes. Really appreciate it. You'll be able to get a download later today at stash.normal.org, so check that out.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
Time to check our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. There are all sorts of CPC meetings going on in the Southern California area. Check out normalsc.org for more details. Tonight, one in Claremont at the Bannock Avenue Claremont Friendship Center in San Diego, California. Another one for North Park in San Diego at the North Park Christian Fellowship Church. And one at the Tierra Santa Community Council on Mesa Boulevard in San Diego, California. Again, normalsc.org for more details. University of New Hampshire is going on spring break this week, so no events happening at the University of New Hampshire. Also, tomorrow, Wednesday, March 17th, is St. Patrick's Day, so celebrate with something green. Benzie County Normal will be having their meeting at Benzonia, Michigan. Check out minormal.org for details. CSU Fresno Normal will be having their meeting at the Family Food and Science Building, Room 216A at the CSU Fresno campus in Fresno, California. And Tulsa Normal in Tulsa, Oklahoma will be meeting at the Hardesty Regional Library to inform Oklahomans about the need to change marijuana laws. Check out tulsanormal.org for more information. And if you'd like your event on the cannabis community calendar, it has to be placed there by a normal chapter. Send me an email at stash@normal.org for more information.
The Normal Pack, the political arm of Normal,
makes contributions to members of Congress and select state legislators who support our policies and advance legislation towards that end. Elected officials need to see that those of us who support legalization are serious about changing policy, are about more than just getting high, and understand the importance of supporting politicians who support us. Please make a contribution today to the Normal PAC and send it to the Normal Office in Washington, D.C., 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Or go to the Normal website and make a generous contribution. It is an investment in our future and will help assure we finally re-legalize the responsible use of marijuana in this country. Thank you.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
California ain't holding me back.
California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. Every Tuesday, we're joined by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report online at California Normal's site, canormal.org, and Beverly Hills Normal at normal90210.org. Now, here with another great interview is Eric Brenner.
Thanks, Russ. Following our developing story out of Los Angeles, medical marijuana under attack in the Southland. Today we speak with Pastor Craig X. Rubin of Temple 420. He appeared briefly as the owner of the Bodhi Sativa Medical Marijuana Club on Showtime's Weed Series. He's now facing county jail time for marijuana charges. Pastor Craig X. Rubin, welcome to the California Marijuana Report.
Hey, nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Craig, District Attorney Steve Cooley has dropped all charges against you. However, a judge has ordered you to go to jail for 90 days for violating terms of your probation. Can you confirm this?
You pretty much have the facts of what's going on correct. I was arrested on October 22nd, 2009, and then just last week, already up to March of 2010, all the charges were dropped, which means there's no jury trial. But then a judge determined that I violated my probation just by being arrested, held a kind of pro forma hearing where he had ruled that I had violated my probation before we even had the hearing. And then he listened to the evidence, and he said, well, no, this is the same thing as Roger Mensch case. You didn't take care of the officer's housing, safety, or whatever they mentioned in the Mensch case. He basically said I didn't qualify, even though we showed him all the evidence that it was very distinguishable from Mensch, and that obviously under the law I'm allowed to have a facility that helps people that stay less than 24 hours.
Craig, talk to me about why the case was dropped. Your attorney, Jennifer Sories of Los Angeles, subpoenaed a certain member of the city attorney's staff. Can you please elaborate on this?
There is a woman named Asha Greenberg in Mr. Chutanik's office who is in charge of the medical marijuana task force for Mr. Chutanik, and she specifically wrote us a letter because I am on probation. I've been doing everything I can to dot every I and cross every T. So we confirmed with them because originally there was a permit issue, but I had gotten a new permit. We confirmed with them the day before, and she said, no, the city will not be pursuing permit issues at this point. You know, feel free to open, blah, 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 blah. The very next day, less than 24 hours later, the officer who arrested me was specifically sent in by Asha Greenberg because of my permit issue to arrest me, saying that I was operating an illegal club because of my permit issue. So it was totally a setup. We had been closed before we'd gotten a letter from her. We opened up because of her, and then we're arrested the very next day because we're only open because of the letter from the city attorney's office. So they enticed us to open and then arrested us, or me personally.
So the probation violation stands. Where are you going to have to do your jail time?
I don't know if it's all in the Twin Towers, which is pretty hellish. Just, like I said, I spent 7 days there when they arrested me in October, which is the first time I've ever been to jail in my life.
What was that like, the notorious Twin Towers in Los Angeles?
I was arrested Thursday night and then brought to in front of the judge the following Tuesday. Now, I wasn't let out until the next Thursday. So the first 4 days were spent at the Crystal House or the Glass House, something like that, which is in the jail. They originally made my bail $150,000. So I spent 4 days in this horrible, horrible place. It had urine and feces on the ground and all sorts of disgusting things on the wall, and there's no edible food, really. it was a nightmare. And then when you get to the Twin Towers downtown, that was just frightening. That was like a whole nother level. I certainly wasn't afraid of the other people in there, but the officers in there were, I thought the officers at the Crystal Glass House were mean, but when you get to that county jail, these are people who've never been convicted yet, just being held, and you're treated. I can't imagine the people at Abu Ghraib in Iraq being treated much worse. So, and we make such an arms about them, and it drives me crazy because, here in California, people go nuts about their food. They won't even eat a chicken that's been raised in a cage. And we have no problem just throwing men into these tiny little boxes and ruining their lives for such meaningless charges.
How did you get through 7 days of that, Craig?
Thank God. I prayed. I really did need. I tried to pray for some of the guys that were in there, and I was really just trying to joke around, and I studied the Bible a lot. The first 4 days I was in this cell with three dudes that didn't even speak English. So thank God I'm fluent in Spanish. And this guy, Ricardo, I can't remember his last name at the moment, but he and I basically studied the Bible in Spanish for 4 days. And that was the only thing that mentally got me through that. And that was actually enjoyable. The moments, times I spent with him, I could say, that was a blessing. And then when I went to the county jail, I really saw a lot of sad stories, and I tried to just be a good example and pray for a few of these guys.
When is your surrender date?
March 26th is when I go back to the judge, and I think I turn myself in right in the courtroom. And they...
To me about the original case brought against you by District Attorney Steve Cooley several years ago that got you into this mess and now has forced your family of seven to live in residential hotels throughout Los Angeles.
Patient was definitely qualified. He was a police officer who had gone to Dr. James, I think, Eisenberg or Eidelman, I'm not sure which one, but one of the real California MD doctors. He was a legitimate patient. He had been verified. We verified him beforehand. What they're saying is, I don't qualify as an individual primary caregiver. And instead of recognizing the fact that as a clergy member, I'm allowed to run a 24-hour care facility or less, I have permission from the judge, I'm a qualified pastor that is allowed to run a facility of this kind, a specialty clinic. I have the permit for it. We're allowed to collect a fee for it. And we're one of the facilities that qualify under the law. And what he's saying is that I'm not looking at you as a facility. I didn't arrest your facility. We arrested you as an individual. And you as an individual don't qualify as a primary caregiver under the law because I didn't take care of the officer's housing, health, or safety needs, they said, prior to providing him with cannabis. But the fact is, he came in, and we provided him with the services that we provide him with at our church facility, which is biblical counseling. We provided to him prior to helping him with cannabis and independently of helping him with cannabis. And what the judge said was, well, you didn't take care of his housing needs. Which is a joke because that basically says that every medical marijuana club in the city and county of LA, if they don't provide housing for each of their patients, they can't provide medical marijuana, which obviously is ridiculous, not the intent of the law. I even had a permit from the city of Los Angeles that said I could sell medical marijuana. So, and he just said, well, the facts are the same here as in the Roger Mensch case. And Roger's a really nice guy who I've stayed in touch with, but he didn't even have a facility. He was an individual selling medical marijuana out of his house, and the services he provided to the patients as well was simply driving them around to doctor's appointments and things like that. And he's a nice guy, and I think he really felt he qualified under the law, but the California State Supreme Court determined that by not taking care of their housing, health, and safety prior to providing them with cannabis, an individual is not a primary caregiver.
What a story, Pastor Craig X. Rubin, Temple 420 in Los Angeles. Let's get the address out. Do you have a PayPal account?
Not particularly.
Do you have a PayPal account or a address that we can give listeners to donate to your defense fund and basically your family fund if we can?
It's just my email address at PayPal, which is craigxrubin@hotmail.com, and I really do appreciate it. It has been tough, but more importantly, my son just got a job, thank God. But you know, when I get out of jail, they've taken our life savings again for the second time within 4 years, and probably not going to give us a hearing or give us our money back, even though they've dropped all the charges, because that's how the system works. So mostly, if someone could really employ me, I could use a job when I get out of jail, and that would be a blessing. But other than that, yeah, anything people could do to help or write up. Most importantly, I just pray that people call the governor and say, hey, don't send this guy to jail. We don't want to spend our tax dollars on it. It's a waste of money. And that would give me an opportunity to just be dependable to my own family and support my own family, which is all I ever want the opportunity to do anyways.
And that phone number to call, Governor Schwarzenegger, 916-445-2841, push number 6 to get an operator. That number, 916-445-2841, push number 6 to keep Pastor Craig X. Rubin, out of county jail for 90 days for selling marijuana. This is an awful, awful story. Pastor Rubin, let me ask you, are you getting any residuals from your work on Showtime?
Yeah, not from American Drug War, which I guess was on Showtime about 200 times, but from my appearances on Weeds. And I don't get it from Showtime itself. I actually get it from the company that created Weeds. But it's not a lot.
Okay, but we just wanted to make sure that you are getting your residuals, so that is good news.
Yeah, no, and it is exciting. I mean, I'm not a big union guy, but I'm really happy to be in the Screen Actors Guild union because they do keep a good eye on these big companies that could take advantage of actors. And I love it every time I get a check for not working. It's a little bit communistic, but I go, yes, God bless America.
Well, as a fellow free marketeer, Pastor Rubin, I concur with the sentiment about unions. However, I am a fellow Screen Actor Guild member and an American Federation Television and Radio Artists member. So I look at it not as communistic when I get a residual check. I look at it as just kind of a share of the profit. And I think that's there's nothing more free market than reaping the rewards of commercial success. Would you concur?
And I agree. And I'm really thankful. You know, I'm not like, oh, I'm against unions or anything. I just, my issue is when you see the government taking over the car industry, the health industry,
it's terrible.
And that, and I feel like, oh, man, it doesn't seem healthy for our country. And I know that Hollywood is very much unionized. And I know that also sometimes these guys, they work hard, hard, long hours, and the unions protect them. So I know there's a balance there, and I'm grateful to be part of that union because they truly do look out for their members' interests.
Craig, are you getting enough?
I get that check. I go, yay.
Are you
not big.
Are you in touch with the cast members of Weeds, like Kevin Nealand and those guys?
No, I really only worked with them for a few days on the acting part of what I did, which is really exciting for me because it's fun to be a quote actor. But I mostly worked with some of the guys behind the scenes doing the consulting. And I saw one of the head writers just at Nate Nell's a few months ago and said hi to him and everything. And I have a nice relationship with some of them. But it's not you know, I just worked on that for a couple seasons. It was such a blessing for me, and I really enjoyed being part of it. But in Hollywood, it's very transient. You know, even though when you're like the star of the show, you feel like, oh, it's family. But everyone else, you just kind of come to work on the show, and when your work is done, you're done.
So all fans of the Showtime series Weeds and Pastor Craig X. Rubin and Temple 420 in Los Angeles, we need you to call Governor Schwarzenegger right now, please, at area code 916-445-2841, extension 6, and ask him to pardon Pastor Craig X. Rubin. Craig X. Rubin of the Showtime series Weeds and Temple 420 out of Los Angeles, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you. I really do appreciate it, Eric.
Normal Show Live is brought to you by our advertisers and supported by the generous tax-deductible donations of our listeners. If you'd like to make a monetary donation to the show, visit secure.normal.org/donate. Fill in the dollar amount and specify Normal Show Live in the comments. If you'd like to donate equipment or items to be used for prize promotions on the show, please send them to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161. Portland, Oregon, 97214. If you need a receipt for tax deduction purposes, please indicate the value of the items you are donating. Thank you for contributing to the fight for your own freedom.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
The Emerald Sun will rise on St. Paddy's Day, March 17, 2010. Emerald Sun is opening up our design studio at 9423 North Division in Spokane. We're at the Y. Visit us at www.emerald-sun.com for details on our specialty threads and designs with the cannabis culture in mind.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty, but we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experiences of our cannabis community.
Welcome back, everyone. It's 49 after the hour, and we are joined from Washington, D.C. by Webb Hubble from the McLaughlin Company and also formerly from the Clinton administration as the former Associate Attorney General. Webb Hubble, welcome to the show.
Hi,
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to talk to you.
You know, we've been playing your commercial for life insurance for marijuana users, and we've really appreciated that service that you've been providing. The reason that we're calling today and wanted to talk to you a bit is in our community, we have a lot of medical marijuana patients. They're often asking questions about their use of medical marijuana and how that may or may not be covered by the Federal Americans with Disability Act, something that was signed during the Clinton administration. Can you give us your opinion on the state of the Americans with Disability Act with respect to medical marijuana?
Well, the state right now is not good. Hopefully it's going to change, though. It was actually signed back in the Bush administration, but the Americans with Disabilities Act is meant to make accommodation to people with disabilities who suffer an illness that affect their ability to work. And you're required to accommodate those individuals. Unfortunately, the law had written into it that if you used a Schedule I drug, then you did not qualify. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're being treated by a doctor with a morphine or a heavy drug, you're disabled, and why shouldn't you be in the same position if you're treated by something that by a physician, such as marijuana, then your employer should be making accommodation and allowing you to work and accommodate your work situation. You don't determine whether you're disabled because of what drug gives you or what medicine gives you the best treatment. You determine it by what's bothering you. And so we're hopeful that as D.C. and other communities pass medical marijuana laws, that will change.
Yeah, so the situation that we're faced here is a common one, what we talk about in medical marijuana reform, and that is the federal scheduling of cannabis as a Schedule I drug. Here in the state of Oregon, the state has been directed to reschedule marijuana down to Schedule 2 through Schedule 5, somewhere in that range. The state of Iowa has got a similar mandate as far as rescheduling. And I guess we're just stuck because the state schedules don't outrank the federal schedule, huh?
That's the way it is right now. That's why I'm so hopeful that as D.C. passes medical marijuana, people are going to recognize that here, even in the nation's capital, which is actually, part of the federal government, is allowing medical marijuana. And I think some creative lawyers and creative cases will maybe change the American Disabilities Act to allow people who are disabled because of their disease to be accommodated and also to be treated by marijuana and not affect their disability.
Yeah, that would make a more interesting test case, since we are talking about a federal district with the District of Columbia, and they would be subject to the federal scheduling. That would be an interesting case to bring up. As we move forward on
that, I think it's going to be a fascinating case. I really do. I think once it's into effect here in D.C., I think that people are going to see that you should be ranking disabilities by the disabling disease and not by how it's treated.
You know, this is something that comes up here, and we've discussed it many times here on the show with respect to medical marijuana patients who are in need of organ transplants. And many of these organ transplant banks are dropping them from their lists solely because of their use of medical cannabis. And I've had people come to me, well, isn't this an Americans with Disability issue? And it's just so sad that I have to say, unfortunately not. Not the way the laws are set up right now.
That's true. I mean, it's also very sad. I mean, again, we don't prevent other diseases from being accommodated by the Americans with Disability Act, only those that are treated by marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as this term accommodation goes, this is something that's written into many of the medical marijuana statutes. I can tell you for sure in Oregon and probably a handful of other states where they say that employers are not required to accommodate the medical use of marijuana on the at the workplace. And, of course, employers want to interpret that to say if you fail a urine screen and you have metabolites in your system, that's on the workplace accommodation. And of course, marijuana activists say no, it should be accommodating the use at work. If they're using at home, it shouldn't be any sort of big deal. If we were able to get the right case through on Americans with Disability, would that protect those patients in that drug testing scenario for their use of cannabis?
I think it's going to. I think you're going to start seeing cases where they do say you've got to accommodate those individuals and allow use at home. You know, clearly you don't, it would not be an accommodation to allow a truck driver to smoke marijuana while they're at work, but there's no reason why somebody who's an accountant to treat, you know, who has muscular dystrophy, for example, to use marijuana at home to accommodate their pain.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting you mentioned the truck driver. This is something I just looked up the other day when I was writing a post, and it was the federal regulations with regard to commercial driver's licenses. And I actually found a section in there that said you couldn't have a CDL if you were using a Schedule I substance, a narcotic, an amphetamine, or anything that was an addictive sort of drug. But then right below that, they list a bunch of exceptions, and the basic exception was if your doctor thinks that you need it and your doctor realizes you're a truck driver and it won't harm your truck driving and you don't qualify as an alcoholic, then you can have that exception for your use of OxyContin or whatever drug.
Okay. Well, I think reason has always been part of the Americans with Disability Act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have somebody who's without sight, the employer is required to provide a keyboard with Braille, all right?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. No, but, or you have someone who is an extreme amount of pain, and that pain can be relieved by aspirin. They're going to let them take aspirin. Why can't you do the same with marijuana? In a position where it doesn't prevent them from, you know, performing their job.
Mm-hmm. You know, as we look forward that D.C. medical marijuana to be implemented, we are well aware of the fact that under the district, you know, since it is a federal district, they're under the thumb of Congress, and Congress could pretty much at any time, you know, cast this aside and say they're not allowed to implement it. What's your feel for the political pulse on this issue on Capitol Hill and whether or not they would obstruct D.C.'s medical marijuana?
Well, I think the political pulse is one where, you know, the people don't want to deal with it. You know, but I think there are a growing number of congressmen who have used marijuana at some point in their life and know that it, you know, in some cases, and they have friends who know that marijuana helps them deal with some severe mental illnesses.
Yeah.
And the more that happens, the more there's a chance that they're going to let D.C. do what they want to do. And to some extent, you know, silence is consent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we thank you, Webb Hubble from the McLaughlin Company, for joining us here on Normal Show Live. We appreciate your insights on the Americans with Disability Act, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you.
All right. Webb Hubble there, ladies and gentlemen, formerly with the Clinton administration as the Associate Attorney General. Thanks so much for joining us here from Washington, and for everyone here listening here on Normal Show Live. The replays will be coming up at 3, 5, 7, and 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Stay tuned for them and your daily toker tunes randomized all throughout the hours in between. You can follow me on Twitter at Radical Russ. You can send me an email, stash@normal.org, and you can visit our blog, stash.normal.org, for more news and information. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
You
it, you roll it, you smoke it. Yeah, take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.
For Cannabis Carry, Maestro Ganja John and myself, Radical Russ Belleville, and everyone here at Normal.org, thanks for tuning in to Normal Show Live. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.